K-Rock Football. Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.
Sort of mint on my pillow when I get back there.
Jason Doherty's returned from the rooms. That's the giggling you can hear in the background. You were down in the catch rooms. What did you glean from maybe Tom Stewart's situation?
Ben, you've been three votes today. Amazing. Look, he was walking around. He had the kids in tow. He got a knock on his left knee. I think he also pinched a little bit of the front of his bad knee, which is his right knee. So he'll be a bit of a watch, but... as you said, the ultimate worry, he'll just keep going.
Yeah, but North Melbourne next week, where Geelong will start, raging favourites.
It's not at a venue they play well at, Kingy. Though.
That's the issue.
I fear that game.
Oh.
What?
I don't think Mark does. Especially, what actually helps is Tristan Cherry.
That's out.
Can you cut that or whatever you do? Keep that. Ben fears North Melbourne.
No, I fear the game.
You fear the venue.
We all fear
the venue.
In round three against St Kilda, and they piled on 10 goals in the first half, and the Cats got beaten.
Collingwood and Freo, Benny, it's a good game at the MCG taking place on what would be a crisp afternoon, but the Dockers are keeping it very competitive.
Yeah, very late in the second quarter, and the Pies lead 8-6-54. Fremantle are 7-5-47. That must be very, very close to halftime.
As much as we like Collingwood being beaten, probably the best result for the Cats is Collingwood just keep winning because they're going to finish on top of the ladder, you would think.
And it puts a few teams around Geelong's areas on the
you keep Freo away.
And we'd really like, be good if Gold Coast could beat
Adelaide.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a big game.
Massive game.
So, yeah, look, it's going to be really interesting. Your ladder position and where you finish is going to be critical, depending upon whether you have to travel in the first week of finals. So, Cats just need to keep winning and hopefully maybe jag second, although it's looking...
Nah,
Adelaide have got a pretty good run.
Almost their best case scenario is finish fourth and play Collingwood at the G rather than have to go to Brisbane.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is probably the best case scenario.
But they won't be able to manipulate that because it'll be too tight. They're probably only going to finish fourth on percentage.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some upsets in the run home, but Cats just have to keep winning, and the game against Sydney in Sydney is probably the real danger one for them.
North Melbourne at Marvel, Port Adelaide at GMHBA Stadium, Essendon also GMHBA Stadium. So basically, five-day turnaround, Sunday fortnight into 5 days later against the Bombers. Sydney at the SCG is actually a nine-day break, and then we're yet to hear where the Richmond game will fall. If I was a guessing man, I reckon that might be on the Sunday, on the final day of
the
home and away season.
Is that a guessing man or a betting man?
Both.
I'll go with both. Split the difference. Mark Neal's in the expert's chair this afternoon. Thanks to the Sporting Globe. Neal, what do we take away from the performance by the men in the navy blue and white hoops this afternoon? Is I can tell you that the Adelaide Thunderbirds have been tipped over by the Melbourne Vixens.
Really?
Yep, they have. They're done. So no three-peat in the Super Netball.
Cool.
And in the other one, the Fever off to a flyer. 24-14, about to be 25-15.
How is the wing attack feeding the goal shooter?
Yeah, well, she's doing her job.
So we
which is pretty...
Hey, yeah. We haven't spoken about this. That
well, no, because we're at the football
time. I know, but on a personal note, your daughter, Alice,
has
had a wonderful season.
She has.
For the West Coast Fever, and she has found herself in the Diamond squad, the Australian squad, for the upcoming round of matches. What is on the Constellation Cup or similar?
Yeah, there's a whole heap of things. Firstly, thank you for acknowledging that. It is a footy broadcaster, not a netball one, but it's nice to celebrate that sort of stuff. So, look, it's really good, obviously, for her. It's a great achievement, and you know she's pretty chuffed with herself. They're in the middle of a finals campaign, which she needs to sort out, and then she'll worry about that. The netball system is very much similar to the cricket system in terms of they announce once a year X amount of players that get an Australian contract. So there's 18 of them that get a contract for the next 12 months, and over that period of time, there's a series: South Africa, New Zealand, and Jamaica, plus a whole lot of other training things. So wonderful experience.
Jamaica in Jamaica.
Oh, Neildy's
got
way.
Neildy's just checking the passport.
So there'll be every chance, Tom. See you later. which is great for you because personally you needed to sort that out because that means your wife becomes acting CEO. See you later. Done.
Right.
Gaunt. Anyway, back to this.
And even has time to message nine-year-olds with stars in their eyes too, which is even better. So thank you for that.
No worries.
Now, this afternoon, the Cats, what do we take away from the performance? What did you like? What did you not like? And looking ahead to North Melbourne.
I think I put my coach's hat on them. The thing that I liked more than anything was James Cowley speaking to us pre-game as a defensive assistant coach with the Cats. And he spoke about the areas that they wanted to work on from last week. They felt their performance against GWS was a little bit below par, and there were certain things. And one of the things he spoke to us about was the ball movement and trying to get it off the line, use their anchor defender, try to shift the St Kilda backs. And they, it wasn't perfect every time, Kingy, but what it was consistent in their efforts. And I think that's really important. So what that says to someone who watches it with through coach's eyes is everyone's on the same page. Yep. And the coaches and the players, they're all working to the same thing. So we certainly liked that. Also liked the last quarter, although some people would say, well, look, it petered out a little bit. I think the Saints kicked three goals, Geelong only kicked two. The Saints were kicking with the aid of a two or three goal breeze. What I thought they did well in their small forwards in particular was stop the defensive attacking run from St Kilda off their half-back line. In the second quarter, they couldn't do that. So they focused on that. They'd be the two major things. A couple of other things to throw into the mix was the spread of goal kickers. I think Ben said there were about eight or nine different goal kickers. So that's good. Individually, there were some really good performances, particularly as the game went on, from young Connor O'Sullivan. You know, he's 20 years of age, playing his 18th game or whatever it is. He was good. Neil had a very quiet day, but he came into it a little bit in the last quarter, which means his work ethic is really high. I thought Manor was really good, like at mid-20 disposals, had half a dozen shots of goal, and then you throw in, you know, obviously the cream on top, like Cameron and these sorts of things. So there's a fair bit to like, Kingy. They didn't belt St Kilda, and St Kilda will come away from me thinking, oh, well, you know, we were competitive, we got it to within a goal and a half at some stage and all those sorts of things. But it was just a workman-like performance, I felt.
Yep. Anything that Chris Scott will look at closely ahead of North Melbourne next week?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be a vision-based thing. Geelong, I presume, talk around, okay, well, we're planning to win a grand final. This is the way we have to play. And all coaches are searching for that momentum. Everyone says, well, they're going to be able to stop momentum. Well, if everyone knew how to do it, you know, we'd all be millionaires, I suppose. But there was still a passage of time in that second quarter when the Saints kicked unanswered goals. And that would be the one area defensively. And they're still clearly searching for what they believe, Kingy, is the best personnel forward of the footy. And it looks as though for the moment they really want tools down there to help Cameron. So today it was Blitzarves. He played a little bit in the ruck, but basically permanent forward along with Neil and Cameron. And then when Cameron when he comes off for his breather, it's always Dangerfield who goes to the deepest forward. So they're still experimenting in that space as well.
K-Rock Football. Homestyle Aged Care, fifth quarter.